It's encouraging to see a good number of you tonight. I'm going to ask you if you would like to follow along with me. I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 9, and then I'm going to make my way to Acts chapter 14, and then we answer a couple of questions, and then the lesson will be over. But if you are in Acts chapter 9, I just want to point out, Acts chapter 9 is going to talk about the conversion of Saul. Okay, and then the first verses, we're going to see Saul's conversion into verse 19. Now, beginning in verse 20, we see that he became a Christian, and now he's going to begin to preach. And as you see him in verse 20, he's going to say, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He began to preach Christ right away. And then he stayed in the city of Damascus for many days, the Bible's going to say, and that's in account in that chapter 9. And then what happened when he began to preach Christ, notice verse 21. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who call on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he may bring them bound into the chief priest? So you see, this is kind of unbelief, this amazement. They don't believe what he's doing now. And now we see that this goes on an unbelieving tongue, because in verse 22 it's going to say, but he's comparing, they did not believe him, but he increased all the more in strength. That unbelief did not stop him. You see, that's the beginning, the first sight of persecution on Paul's life. The first sight of suffering on Paul's life. Now you keep on going, you're going to see that because he was preaching Christ, verse 23, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Now we're going to learn from Paul himself later in 2 Corinthians 11, 32 and 33, that the governor of the city of Damascus was trying to arrest him by putting men at the door of the city. And then he was laid down in a basket, as we know from the account. And then what happens, he flees to Jerusalem. He's going to flee to Jerusalem. And then he joined the disciples again, and they were afraid of him. Again, there's suffering on the part of Saul. There's misunderstanding. There's opposition because they were afraid of him. But again, he increased it in his desire to preach. Now, what happened afterwards, you see right there in verse 22, Saul increased the more in strength, but we'll read that one, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, and they were afraid of him. Okay, but then Barnabas interceded for him. And then, verse 29, in Jerusalem, now we see, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. Most likely, these were Jews who were of the Sadducean party, who were influenced by the Greek culture. So we see in Jerusalem, he was persecuted by the Hellenists, and they attempted to kill him. You see, twice already he became a Christian, and they tried to kill him twice already. He's suffering unbelief. He's suffering fear from the brethren. He's suffering persecution, wanted to put him to death right off the bat, just as he became a Christian. Now, let me just make my case to Acts chapter 14, and then I'll make some practical applications. Now, we keep on going. We're going to learn that then from Jerusalem, he went back to Tarsus, to his homeland, okay, where he was from. So he's going back to Tarsus. Now, notice in chapter 11, you turn around the page. In chapter 11, we're going to see that it was Barnabas who went back up to Tarsus, or down to Tarsus because of the, you know, geography, and brought Paul back, okay, into the city of Antioch. Now, when they come to the city of Antioch, you're going to see, let me just point out the verses. This is chapter 11, verse 25. It says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And then we're going to see that the church at Antioch sent Barnabas and Saul to Jerusalem because of the famine, so that they can take some relief to the brethren who were suffering at Jerusalem. So he goes to his first, his first appointed task as a preacher or apostle for Paul, and he's going with Barnabas to Jerusalem. Now, he's going to come back from Jerusalem. Notice verse 25 in chapter 12. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John Mark, whose surname was Mark. And then notice, in verse 13, we're going to see a picture of the church in Antioch. And then verse 4, notice, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. We see Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark are going into their first missionary journey, as we have them in the book recorded. Now, he's going to go to the city of Salamis, the first city. Now, in verse 14, Acts 13, 14, you're going to see, let me point out, in verse 9, I noticed as I was reading this verse, that Luke is going to make the transition from calling Saul by his Hebrew name. You know, Saul is the, or Saulos is the Greek transliteration of Shaul, which is the Hebrew name. And then he transitions from Saul into Paul, which is a Greco-Roman name, okay, or Paulos, which is a Greek-Roman name. And then from now on, he's going to call him Paul, you see, or that's, this is the beginning where he starts calling him Paul. Anyways, now, if we go to verse 14, they're going to reach Antioch of Pisidia. And now they're going to be, we get the account of 2 weeks they spend in this city, at least, that is mentioned here. The first week that they are there, they're asked to speak. And then we have recorded from verse 16 and on a wonderful sermon from the Apostle Paul. Now, I think there's Jews still living today. And if I was to teach a Jew, this is an inspiring lesson for a Jew today. This is what they need to hear. And this is what Paul preached to them in this synagogue. Now, if you keep on going after the sermon, the people were so impressed in the city of Antioch, of Pisidia, that they begged them to stay another week. Now, the next week came along on a Saturday, and they met at the synagogue again. And we're going to see, notice in verse 44, in chapter 13, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came gathered to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, you see, here the Jews come again, there's envy. They're all over the place. Damascus, you name it, they're all over the place. Jerusalem, Antioch of Pisidia, and then they heard, and they were full of envy, as you can tell. And they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Again, more persecution, more opposition. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold. You see, when there's persecution, and if you're doing things for the right reason, you're just going to grow. There's no other way to go. You're going to have to, you know, study hard. You're going to have to pray hard. You're going to have to reach out to brethren to help you out. You're going to grow when there's persecution and you are sincere about it. Now, if you're not sincere about this persecution, okay, it's time to go. I got to go. I'm not going to stand here. If that makes sense. But anyways, now that's just a side point that I wanted to make. But I'm making my case. I'm almost there. Okay? Now we see Paul grew bold. And then we're going to skip that section. But notice verse 50. But the Jews stir up the devout and prominent woman and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. Now I'm getting the idea so far that if someone is going to speak about persecution, that's going to be Paul, because he's getting a lot of experience on his curriculum from day one. Okay, and that's the point I want to make, because I want to read some statements made from Paul concerning persecution that are going to help us. But we're going to see that not only he's inspired, but he also experienced everything that he's going to write about later on. So you see, then they went to the city of Iconium, okay, chapter 14 and verse 1. You see, and they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke to a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, and of Greeks believed. And again, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stay there a long time, speaking boldly. Again, you see, there's opposition, and then Luke mentions they're bold. So opposition, they grow bold. There's opposition, they gather more energy to oppose that opposition. Again, so we see, granting signs and wonders done by their hands. Now, I'm almost there. Now, again, verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Verse 5, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to abuse and stone them. Notice what happened. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. Now, something's going to happen to Paul in this city of Lystra, and he's never going to forget. In fact, it's going to prompt him to make the first statement concerning all his persecution so far. Which, when I just read it calmly, you know, in the sitting on my chair or whatever, I was just amazed when I realized the statement he's about to make. It's just incredible. You see, what happened at Lystra, they come to Lystra and they heal this man. He cannot walk. They heal him. He was crippled from his mother's womb. And then the reaction of the pagan people from there, they start to worship them. They want to worship him as Zeus and as Hermes or Hermes. But then Paul also gives us a glimpse of a sermon he delivers, which gives some very good information concerning God and creation. Then notice in verse 19, and here's the point I want to make. I'm in Acts 14, beginning in verse 19. And this compels us all as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, it also compels you, because this is something that is that you need to know before you become a Christian. Or that you need to be aware of. But verse 19, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. They were not satisfied by kicking them out of their cities. They came and chased them wherever they were. And having persecuted the multitudes, persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, this was the closest attempt they had into Paul's life so far. And then, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They visited every single city they had been persecuted from to preach and encourage the brethren. Because if they were persecuted, what would happen to the brethren? They would also be persecuted, so they needed some encouragement. But look at this statement. What were they doing? Verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And here's the summary of the message. If you don't have your Bible, just pay attention to this phrase. This is the summary of every message they deliver in all of those cities from which they suffer persecution. He said, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. That is just, I don't know how to explain this, but just accept it. If you want to be a Christian, or if you are a Christian, there's going to be tribulation. Okay, we must. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you see, you got to go through the narrow way. And narrow way is not easy, and there's going to be tribulation. Okay, there's going to be sufferings. There's going to be hardships. Now, this is the case I wanted to make, but let me just read for you three more statements Paul made concerning suffering. This is the first one we find. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Well, beginning in verse 16. Romans 8, beginning in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs of God, adjoint heirs with Christ, if we can be joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's an if statement. You want to be a heir with Christ? There's a condition. And his suffering is one of the conditions. Now, notice verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time The sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's just great to hear. Because no matter how big the suffering is, it's not going to be a match for the glory we're going to receive in heaven, which tells us that no matter what suffering we go through, it's not worth it to just give it up. Sure. You know, give up, just quit. It's not worth it. If it's small suffering or big suffering, and you're thinking about giving up for Christ, and just say, well, that's not for me. It's a lot of suffering. I have a lot of opposition from my family. They don't want me to be a Christian, and so on and so forth. And I say, well, I'm just going to give up. Think about it twice before giving up such great reward as a Christian.
Right.
Okay? So, another statement he's going to make. Notice Philippians. And if you notice, I'm just reading verses from Pauline epistles exclusively. Because of lack of time and because I want to see what he has to say about suffering. Because he's the one we are focusing on tonight. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. Philippians 1, notice verse 29 and 30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ. Notice, this is a privilege. This is an honor. Not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Just given this privilege. Why we've been given this privilege? Because we're Christians. And any suffering we do for Christ is going to count. It's going to give glory to God. It's going to be worth the time we spend on it. Okay? Now, last statement I want to make here. And this is going to bring us back to Lystra. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to close this circle from Lystra to Lystra. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what Paul is going to say beginning in verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. He's talking to Timothy. Have followed my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. We just read of them. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Yes. And here's the statement again. What is his conclusion concerning his persecutions in these three cities? He's going to say, yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. And I wouldn't think of a more appropriate time in life to apply this verse than today. If you want to be godly, you're going to be disliked from your friends. If you want to be godly, you might be disliked from your co-workers. If you want to be godly, you might be disliked or opposed or talked about from your family. And this is some of the statements Paul is making. I believe not only because he's inspired, but because he endured every single one of these persecutions. That he is capable of telling us this. We will suffer persecution one day or another. Now, if there's a Christian who is just, everything is just comfortable, nothing happens, life is just like ongoing on cruise control, I have my doubts whether you're really living the Christian life or not. Okay? So, now, what types of suffering are we talking about? I really do not know. You know better, because each of us suffer in different ways. I have the sufferings I deal with. And I don't need to share them with you here at the pulpit. It's not the point to talk about my persecutions, you know. But each one of you suffers in a different way. But now, let me just give you some of the reasons why Paul suffered. I'm just going to give you a real quick list. I'm not going to read these verses because there's so many. But if you're taking notes or if you want to go back to the recording and just jot down these verses, I'm going to say them real quick. But notice, Paul suffered because of evil people. Romans 12:17. Paul suffered because people reviled him and defamed him. 1 Corinthians 4:11-13. He also suffered because there were accusers, false accusers to him. 1 Corinthians 9:3. He also suffered because of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He also suffered because he saw other brothers in Christ suffer. 1 Corinthians 12:26. He also suffered because of the adversaries, you know, these Jews or whoever were envious of him. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Titus 2:8. He also suffered, we read in 2 Corinthians 7:5, conflicts from within, conflicts from without, fears from within. And as I mentioned these leads, maybe some of these apply to you, maybe not, but let's see which apply to you, all of these problems that he faced. He also suffered because of unfaithful Christians. You see, you may be suffering because you have an unfaithful child. That brings suffering. Okay? 2 Corinthians 12:21, or an unfaithful parent or mother or sibling. Paul suffered because of unfaithful Christians. He also suffered because immature Christians. Galatians 4:19. Also, he suffered, and there's so many verses about this, because he preached the gospel. Just because you preach the gospel, you will suffer. Galatians 6:12, 1 Thessalonians 2:1-2, 2 Timothy 1:7-8. He also suffered because of Satan. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He also suffered because of abandonment from his fellow workers. 2 Timothy 1:15 and 4:10. But here is the point I want to make to finish. You may be suffering in your own special way. I hope you can hear me. Maybe either the microphone or I know. But anyways, what if you are suffering right now? Whatever the case may be. I'm going to read 3 more verses and I'm going to finish tonight. Here's the first one. 2 Timothy 2:8-12. Well, you know what? Let me take that back. I skipped the section. But I'm going to go through fast, okay? I won't keep it too long, but okay. Why is it necessary for us to suffer? And I'm just going to give you 3 points. There's so many answers to this. Why is it necessary for us to suffer? The first place, because suffering is going to draw us nearer to Christ. Okay, let me read this verse real quick. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Philippians 3:7-10. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him. I have given everything away so that I can know him more. And what does knowing Christ requires? Notice. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Suffering to what extent? So that I can be conformed to his death. So the more we suffer, the more we understand Christ, or we draw closer to Christ. The more we love Christ, the more we're willing to suffer for him. Now, if one of my sons was ill or afflicted by a sickness, I will wish that sickness or affliction will be upon me and not upon them. Why? Because I love them. And the same thing goes for my wife. If she was afflicted by a pain, maybe except giving birth to a child, I might not. I don't know if I'm willing to take on that. But if she was sick or afflicted, I will be, because of the love I have her, to take her place if I could. Because we love it. Paul loved Christ so much that he said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Now, second reason, why is it necessary for us to suffer? Because tribulation reminds us that other people suffer as well. Okay, if you think about not too long ago in in Mexico, there was a big explosion. This gasoline duct was being, you know, tampered, and it exploded and killed like 80 people. Now, some of the children who were burned were quickly flown into Galveston, Texas. You know why? Because there's a place, you know, Michoacán Mau, where this is specialized in burned children. Now, they did not just out of the sudden say, okay, this morning I have an idea. Why don't we do a center to treat children who have been burned? It didn't happen that way. It happened because Michoacán Mau were children who were burned themselves. So the parents said, now we understand what being burned means. We're going to help people from now on, dedicate our lives to help people who are burned in their lives. And he gave them relief, gave them medical attendance. So the more we suffer, and notice 2 Timothy, again, another remark made by Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he's going to say in verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. He's saying, Timothy, please, share with me in these sufferings. Do not let me be alone. Suffer with me so you will understand me more what I'm going through. And then he's going to tell him in chapter 2, in verse 2, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others. See, find other people who are willing to endure the Christian life so that we can share this suffering all together, so that we can know what this means, so that we can find strength among ourselves to keep on going on. And then this suffering is going to develop a sense of unity among the brethren, because we all have shared same afflictions. Okay? Now, and third, why is it necessary for us to suffer? Because tribulations let us see the true and most important things in life. I'm going to tell you a short story. I hope you can bear with me. But there was an elder in the city of Monterey, and this elder, he was afflicted with diabetes. Okay, he was suffering pain in his body. He had to do the dialysis. He had to go to the hospital very often. He had a very painful rest of his life after he was diagnosed with diabetes. But he was also a very good sport fan of one of the soccer teams in the city, the soccer team of Monterrey. Okay, Nancy and I and the kids were not from Monterrey, we're Tigres. Okay, that's another team. But we don't hold that against Brother Valentin. But anyways, one of these days he was feeling really, really in pain. And he was at home with his children. And he was really hurting. And he said to one of his sons, could you please take me to the doctor? I cannot bear it anymore. I want to go to the hospital. And then one of his children told him, hey, are you sure that? You know, Monterrey is about to play. And then he said, you know what? I think I can wait. You go ahead and take me after the game is over, as quickly as it's finished. You see, this is an interesting story, because we don't always think the same way. When we're hurting, when we're suffering, no matter the Dallas Cowboys, no matter the Texas Rangers, that doesn't even matter. We need to be relieved from the pain. We need to be relieved from the suffering. We go back to what's most important in our life. Now, same thing happened to Paul. Notice the answer he's going to give us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Look at this, how Paul went to the very basic needs he needed in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, it says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, that we despair even of life. You see how big the suffering was? And verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but for what reason? Why were you about to die? that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, if I suffer, I understand, and I become, the things of life become more clearer, and I begin to appreciate more my life. I begin to appreciate more my wife, my children, at the basic things of life, my food, my shelter, just basic things of life, whether when I'm not suffering, I can just go on and on and just forget about the most important basic things. And in this case, your trust in God. So suffering brings good results. It helps us grow. But now, to finish, like I said, now, what if you're suffering? I'm just going to read three verses and I'm finished tonight. 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 12. And again, this is Paul again. He's speaking to Timothy. Notice 2 Timothy 2, beginning of verse 8. And again, he's going to talk about suffering. He says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus by eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remember Christ and his sufferings. He also suffered. And if we are faithful, even in suffering, he's going to remain faithful to us." Now, a second verse that I want to read, 2 Corinthians 1, 5 and 6. And I'm moving you back and forth, but we're close to Romans, which is the last book we're going to read from. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning verse 5 and 6. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, also the consolation also abounds through Christ." You see, we have the support of the brethren. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the Bible that encourages us. We have the blood of Christ, which has washed us away from our sins and gives us peace. We have this consolation. Verse 6, "Now if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. But if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." There is a purpose in anything you may be going through in your life. Now, last verse that I want to read, and you know, is Romans chapter 8, verse 35. To 39. And again, Paul is speaking about suffering. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors to Christ who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor the height, nor the depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this is encouraging for Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're going to suffer one way or another. You might as well suffer for Christ and then count the cost before you become a Christian. There's some places where they're going to tell you you're going to stop suffering if you become a member of their denomination. But Christ has told us, and we see the example of Christ, that there's going to be suffering sometimes as soon as you become a Christian. If not, sometime later. But count the cost. Be one of the conquerors, be one of the victors, because you have conquered through tribulation because of the blood of Christ. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, if you confess His name as the Son of God, if you repent of your way of life, of your sins, decide not to make them anymore and continue on, and then be washed of your sins by the blood of Christ through the water after you're baptized in the water baptism, and then you'll be faithful Christian, and then if any tribulation comes your way, you're going to have the support of God, first of all, the support of deity, the support of the brethren, the encouragement from the Bible, the privilege of prayer, and so many other spiritual blessings that are going to help you finish your Christian life. Now, if you're a Christian, and you have been just sitting in the couch, just watching TV, how others live their life and commit to suffering for Christ, and you have not done so when you had the opportunity to do so, if you would like to take the opportunity to think about it and ask forgiveness from God and recommit your life to commitment, total commitment to Christ, why don't you do so tonight? Thank you for your kind attention. Really appreciate you bearing with me tonight. And if you have in any way we can assist you in this invitation, please do so while we stand and while we sing.